intended for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. The Vandals are here tonight. Joe Escalante and Josh Fries are both here.
Hello.
We had a lovely time with the boys when they were here, well, less than a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Drew worked out a little deal with Joe regarding Disneyland, he's forever in debt. Yes, Drew?
Eternally grateful.
Did you go to Club 33?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
How cool was that?
It was so cool.
Now, tell that story over the air. Would you please,
Drew? Joe belongs to a club, wisely, because half of his income went to Disney. And so he figured that, you know, he ought to actually invest in something over there.
Sure.
And they have this club over parts of the Caribbean that is a special, like, club.
You know? Is it over it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in that little...
Because there's that dining area that's sort of next to it.
Yeah, the Blue Bayou.
The Blue Bayou's above that.
Yeah, that's the low-rent district.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's one door.
The Corollas couldn't even make it into
there's
that.
There's one door sort of south of that Blue Bayou, and it's just one door. It says a 33 by. If you walk in that... New Orleans district, you'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the door opens. Actually, it's like a buzzer. You buzz in, you give them your name, and they come down, they get you, and you go back up. And it's like a cruise ship up there.
And how populated is it?
It's they have different seatings. Probably about 40 or 50 people.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
You have to make reservations.
Yeah.
And how do you get into that club?
Joe Escalante.
You know who helped me get in?
I know. Drew, you idiot. How does one get into this club?
How does one join the club?
When I got in...
yes, Drew. How does one join the club?
When I got in, Josh's dad helped me get in, and I had some other friends that were... that gave me these crazy references, but they said when I got in, the waiting list was 16,000 people.
Oh.
And they were just like... They were fed up with it, and they were... redesigning the waiting list, and I kind of just wormed in on a weird day.
Wow.
So that's the actual story. I'd like to say I was I had the concrete contract for Disney. That's what it's like. It's like old Orange County businessmen, whoever had the cement contract
whoever,
for the original
whoever
park.
Whoever owned the strawberry patch that they bought to build California Adventure.
There's no celebrities in there, really.
Dr. Drew
unless I bring
would
them in.
To, beg to differ with you.
That's why they like me. They like... I brought in No Doubt one day, and then it was night and day. All of a sudden, I was the popular club member, and they started, you know, coming up and talk to me. Before that, I was pretty faceless.
Lots of cool pictures of old, original Disneyland pictures, right? Like, you know, Disney
and
walking.
The food's good.
Food's excellent. Yeah. It's very good.
And there's booze.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's the only place you can drink at Disneyland.
So I normally pack my own booze when I go to Disneyland.
I don't have to anymore.
No packing.
I guess I could top off there.
Sure.
We're just getting drunk in the parking lot first. Little tailgate party.
Well, Drew had a lovely time, and all you have to do to get in good with Drew was really nothing.
No.
He likes everybody, even horrible people. But if you do something nice for his kids, and he's really into you.
Triplets.
Yeah.
The club was excited. They were just.
Now, how often do you go there, Joe?
I probably go there once or twice a month when I'm around, and then. But I'm not around. I'm on tour so much.
Well, right. You guys just got back from Europe, as we were talking about before we got on the air.
Do you go there and just eat, or do you actually have to go to the parks when you go?
Go there, just eat, you know.
But, I mean, do you the meal pays for the park, too, right, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, when you're a member, you just walk in and out of Disneyland anytime you want.
Oh, wow.
You don't have to deal with any, even if you're not eating. But if you are a non-member, you get in free to the park because you're eating.
I see, right.
I like the idea of just going to Disneyland to eat, though, and leave.
Yeah.
Not going one
round. Yeah, yeah.
We do that.
Drew, remember about 10 minutes ago I made a nice segue
I didn't want to leave it. I'm having too much fun.
I know,
I'm enjoying
know,
this too much.
Please.
I couldn't let it go. I couldn't let it go.
No, please. It's much more interesting than the Vandals, playing every town in Europe.
20 dates in 23 days.
Now make the transition.
Okay, shut up, Drew. You can't make the transition if you're actually saying the word transition. You understand? That's a cardinal sin of transitionizing, if that's a word. All right, so Vandals, what year did the Vandals get together?
67,
yeah. It was, there was a version of the Vandals, like in the...
What's the earliest Vandals?
Throughout the entire 80s, like 1982, around there.
But yeah.
It was so bad and so, you know, members coming in and out. And then in 89, Josh was the solidifying member. When Josh got in 89, that was kind of when we really started.
I was reading on this paper that Josh was playing drums with Avril Lavigne. Is that true?
Yes.
And, on the record, out on tour?
This is actually a pretty good story. I do so much recording with different bands. I do a lot of session work, you know, with artists ranging from Rob Zombie to the Indigo Girls. And all the time, a producer will call me and say, hey, can you show up to the studio in North Hollywood Thursday night? And I show up, and we whip out four or five songs in a night. And a lot of times, especially these days, the tracks are all done on the computer, ready to go with either a guide drum track or a drum machine. And I come in and play and I'm gone and that's it. And the artist isn't even there. And 90% of these records I play on, even for major labels, never see the light of day, or they come out, no one knows about them, the band gets dropped.
Well, how do you learn the drum lick so fast? That's what makes you good, huh?
Yeah.
What instructions they give you? What do they tell you?
Well, I go down and listen to the song. It usually is pop music, so it's pretty, you know, it's just something I've been doing. I've been making records since I was 15. I've played on about 150 records.
So you just listen to all the tracks for the drums, or they'll temp in a drum like that?
There'll be a temp in drum track, and it depends on the producer and the track, but they might say, listen to the drums, we like where they're going, but embellish.
Right.
We want it to sound like Keith Moon in the chorus, but tame it down in the verse.
Right.
Or we want you to do exactly what's there, and I listen, and I can learn it pretty quick. And most of the time, it's.
Does the drum lend itself to that sort of on the fly stuff more so than other instruments? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're playing,
it depends. But
you can't hit a wrong note. I'll tell you that.
You can hit a wrong rhythm.
Well, no, I don't want to make it easier sound easier than it is, because this is impressive.
I like
The fact that you can just show up to the studio and knock out four songs without sort of studying them.
That's why I'm on the cover of Modern Drummer magazine this
month. I was about to get to that, too.
No, but you know, the Avril Lavigne thing, the thing I thought was funny about that is, so I go in and a friend of mine is a producer named Cliff Magnus, who produced like the Wilson Phillip records like in the 80s and stuff. He calls me up. I go down. It's just me and him. And while I'm learning the songs and making out charts and we're pressed for time, we're going to do basically half of a record in an evening. I'm going to do five or six drum tracks in one night. And that's why he called and hired me to do this. And as I'm, like, writing things out, I go, what's the name of this artist? And he goes, oh, it's this girl from Canada. She's 15. Okay, cool. Who do I fax tomorrow at Sony about invoicing? Oh, here's the lady's name. Okay, roll that next track. And it's gone in one ear and out the other. And, of course, when he said the name, I didn't recognize the name because no one knew who she was. Forgot all about it. The next day, completely forgot who the artist was, what the songs went. It's like cramming for a test.
Right.
I learned the song, play it. But if you ask me the next day, what did that first song go like? I have no idea what it is. Cut to about 8 months later.
Yeah,
I see the video.
We're in Rome. Just in the same hotel for 4 days, watching this video
over and over and over,
and over,
and poking fun at it.
We thought it was an abomination.
And every day I'm going,
rock,
oh my god!
The drum part.
No. Every day I'm rolling my eyes, going, God, did you see that video? Did you see that girl? Oh my god! Oh my god! It's like it's an after-school special. It's Nickelodeon rock.
Right.
About 6 months after making fun of her, someone calls me and goes, "Hey, I saw your name on the Avril Lavigne record." I go, "What are you talking about? That girl with the tie and the Hot Topics Nickelodeon clothes, like." I don't get it. And they go, your name's on there. I couldn't believe it. And I looked on the credits online, and half of the tracks are produced by these guys, The Matrix. The other half of the tracks are produced by Cliff Magnus. What'll happen, because it happens actually pretty frequently, someone will say, I saw your name on such and such record, and I don't recall playing on it. And then I'll look on it and go, oh, yeah, that's the record that so-and-so produced. Oh, that's that thing I did a year and a half ago out in San Francisco. So I saw the name Magnus, and I went, that was that weird anonymous night a year and a half ago in North Hollywood.
And was, do you remember the songs that you played on?
No.
And so you don't know if that was you on the video, if you were on the singles or...
Here's how I knew. The songs that I played on, if you look at the credits, it'll say like after... Half the songs after them will say Matrix.
Right.
Any of those who produced those tracks.
Right.
And the other half will say Magnus.
Right.
So let's say, I'm going to guess, tracks 2, 3, 7, 9, and 12... Those are the songs I played. If it says Magnus after the tune.
If you played on Skater Boy, that song rocks. I like
it. I don't think I played on Skater Boy.
Would you recognize your own drumming?
Sometimes, yeah.
But not all the time.
No, because sometimes it'll be very kind of stock 101. They're going, imitate this drum machine, but make it not feel so stiff. So I'll do that. Or other times they go, do what you do. You know? So
I don't know why. I was just looking at a picture of her today on the cover of some magazine. I can't help but be bothered by her, and I don't know...
Well, I just see her and I get angry at her. Mm. Is she every girl I didn't date in high school? Does she remind me of something specific? You know, see, there's that sort of...
It's not in her. It's something in you think.
No, it's her. No. No, it's both of us. But what I mean is like, she has that thing I hate, which is, I don't care, but I really do care, but I'm going to pretend like I don't care. Oof. That vibe.
It's a little contrived.
Yeah, it's
she's a fan of the show. You're offending her.
It's a little put together. Is she a fan of the show? She's a delicate flower. She's a sweet thing. We'd love to have her on the show.
No.
I don't know if she reminds... How do you know she's a fan of the show?
Because we talk to her people. Anne talks to her people.
Oh, really? All right. I'm sure she's a decent girl.
She got to get up here and
I see her
and
I get angry. I don't know
what it is. Find out what makes... She's got to get up here and we got to find out how he reacts to her in real life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you how I react. I kiss ass. That's what I do. Please, Drew. She's not coming in here. Giselle?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
First of all, I had a comment. A couple of weeks ago or about a month ago, Drew was saying that multi-orgasmic girls love anal sex.
No, I didn't say they love it. I said that tends to be the kind of person that likes
it. Okay. Well, I am multi-orgasmic, but I hate it. And my boyfriend loves it. I mean, that's all he wants if we can't have, like, intercourse.
Wait. Why can't you have intercourse? You said he likes anal sex if you can't have...
Vaginal intercourse.
You said you like... He likes...
Vaginal intercourse,
you said you
yeah,
like...
He likes...
Hold on. This is going to take 20 minutes.
I know. We're going to have to extract this from her.
I know. You know what? I feel like the police who are talking to the McMartin preschool kids. Like, yeah. I feel like I need to show them dollies.
You need a doll.
Like
our college.
Did he touch you in your private dingling, this area?
In
he
the specific
you here?
Spot?
Make, here, here's some crayons and some construction paper. Draw how the man made you feel.
This is where the bathing suit covers. Did he touch you there?
Giselle?
Yeah.
If he can't put his dingling in your hoo-ha... He wants to put his dingling in your fart tank opening.
Yeah, and I tell him, like, dude, you know that's where I poop from? It's nasty.
Right,
yeah,
that's where you make smelly.
I'm like, it hurts. I'm like,
right, it makes you cry.
It's excruciating pain for me. It's not pleasure for me.
Not,
what
right.
the hell is your problem?
Okay,
but
you said,
get it.
Why does he put it there?
Because he likes it. He's like, I love your butt. I love your,
Is he a bad man? Okay, but you said earlier something interesting, which is when you can't have vaginal intercourse.
Oh, well, like if I'm on my period or like for right now, I actually thought I was pregnant, so they told me to just wait 2 weeks and don't have, vaginal intercourse, I guess, until I'm go back and get another test. So these 2 weeks, he's like, oh, are you going to give me some, and I'm like, no.
Well, let's.
So he gets upset. I mean, he gets really upset. Like, he doesn't talk to me, and he, like, for the past 3 days, he's been really asking me. And I'm like, no.
I
like
that.
It hurts. I'm,
He gets mad, and.
And the thing is, maybe the wrong thing that I did was actually go through with it a few times, so therefore he wants it,
Yeah.
Right. So good.
It sounds like a delight.
Yeah.
And then what happens, like, when his mom calls the house? Like, oh, yeah. Joe's not. Well, we're not. Well, he's trying to wreck me, my ass.
No, it's like, what is up with your son?
Right now.
What
yeah.
is up with your son?
Giselle?
No. Oh, no, we don't talk.
You don't talk about it.
About that.
All right, what is he... Liam, listen, what are you using for birth control?
I'm on the pill.
All right, why don't you go... Hey, I've got a solution. Giselle, I have the solution.
Okay.
Go on the pill continuously so you don't have your period. It's actually safe to do that.
Uh-huh.
So just don't stop that week in between when you have your period. Just keep taking it straight through.
Okay.
And then he won't be on you to put his penis in the wrong place.
Well...
God, but I think even though he still does.
Yeah, but it's too bad.
He's like, I love it.
What's he do for... Does he work around metal?
No, he's in retail. He's like a manager of a retail store.
Really?
What kind of store? Just
Swimwear.
Swimwear, okay.
Swimwear, sport apparel, stuff like that.
All right, Giselle. Remember, if you don't want to do something, you don't have to do it.
I know.
All right, baby doll.
Take the pill continuously. Talk to your doctor about taking the pill continuously. I think that's a good.
I like the part where he doesn't talk to her. Come on, you know what you did.
Yeah.
You wouldn't let me nail you in the ass.
I want.
How dare you? Yeah. He's gonna give her the silent treatment. And by the way, in terms of just sort of muss and fuss, sex during the period or anal sex,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'll take sex during the period.
Definitely. Yeah, I would. I mean, just in terms of...
The answer is?
Sex during the period.
What is... Form of a question, please.
Taylor?
Yeah.
You're 13?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I was wondering if you shave your habit trail, will it grow back longer?
No.
Your habit trail, is that what goes up to your... Is that, we used to call treasure it a treasure trail. Yeah.
Your habit trail. Wow.
Habit trail is like a hamster kit.
That's the thing that the wheel...
Yeah, it's a lucite tube that a hamster lives in.
Don't shave that.
Okay.
You know what a habit trail is, Taylor?
Yeah.
They still make those?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they got them. They might not be called habit trails, but I've seen them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know how I know about all these old things from the 70s?
Because your friends had them.
Yeah, I go, oh, yeah, I remember those. I didn't get one of those. That's right. That's right. That's right. Chris had one of those. That's right. That's right. He still let me look at it, but he wouldn't let me touch it. That's right. Yeah. Hate my dad. Okay. So, Taylor.
Yeah.
Is this Taylor the guy?
Yeah, habit trailer.
Guy's not as likely to have the hamster, I think.
Yeah. Don't worry about that. That's all right.
All right.
Chicks like that.
Oh, but your buff friend Chris had a hamster.
Yeah, my friend had a habit trail.
Chris?
Yeah, he was 12.
Doesn't seem what the hamster said, but any age.
Why does that guy want it to grow back?
11 so years fast. Old. He had a habit trail. What do you want to do? What are you talking about? Taylor?
Yeah.
Oh, don't shave your body.
Why does he want it to... Was he want it to grow back?
I think he's scared it's going to grow back thicker.
You want it thicker or you don't want it thicker?
Thicker.
You want it thicker.
Thicker.
Get it thicker.
All right. He just keeps saying thicker.
You get habit trail extensions.
Whatever.
Thicker.
When I was a young lad, shaving your body wasn't really an option, was it?
Not even, so it wasn't in the lexicon of possibilities.
Right. Yeah, guy couldn't do. Guy could maybe shave his face, shave his mustache, but there's no place for the razor along the body. That right?
The eyebrows.
Yeah, you know, Lord knows, yeah. But I think for now it's a real option for guys.
Lord knows.
Like, no, I mean, I think when guys get into, like, high school, they're thinking about shaving their chest or shaving their back or their ass. Or,
and if you have tattoos, then all of a sudden you want
you
to
shave. You got to shave, right?
So it becomes cool.
Lauren? Or at least visible. Yeah. You're 21. What's up?
I'd like to know how I can explain manic or mixed state to my boyfriend. I'm dating this guy who kind of has a fetish for crazy chicks.
What do you mean a fetish for crazy chicks? What does that mean?
Oh, my God. We've been friends for years, and he just dates these crazy women. I mean, they...
Yeah.
Oh, they're just awful. Yeah. And now he's with me, and I'm kind of crazy, too. I'm bipolar, and I need to figure out a way to tell him that when I say, honey, I'm going to leave you for, like, two chicks and a goat, that I don't really mean that.
Right.
What do you mean?
Well, he's used to... Two goats and a chick is what she means.
Yeah, he is.
Well, wait a minute. He's used to dealing with crazy broads, right?
He's used to dealing with crazy women.
And he's known you for a long time.
Yes, we've been friends for years.
So why do you think there'd be any surprises in your relationship? He knows how you are.
Somehow it changed. You know, when we became a couple, you know, when I get manic, I either get needy or you know, I'll... It became a strange thing when we got together, and I don't know how to explain.
Are you taking your meds?
Oh, no.
How come?
I tried to overdose about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I took the whole bottle. I was on Celexa and about 5 milligrams of Zyprexa every day.
Mm-hmm. And so why aren't you on your meds?
I don't know.
Okay. Perhaps the real message here is for you to take care of your bipolar illness.
I think that's what we should do.
And the Zyprexa and the Celexa are great for sort of major depression. If you kind of alluded to having a bipolar condition, you might want to think about mood stabilizers, a little less risky in terms of the overdose potential. And maybe just get 2 week supplies at a time and get monitored real carefully. And then he won't have a crazy chick on his hands. He won't have to worry about it.
Speaking of crazy chick, it's something I never thought about. We've been talking about, everyone's been talking about this Joe Millionaire and now the Bachelorette's going on tonight. And my wife was watching this, and I watched about 20 minutes of it, but I started to get uncomfortable because...
True? Yeah, I get uncomfortable. All this stuff
uncomfortable. I got uncomfortable because she had the date with the first guy, and the date went real well, and she met... her parents, and they were intimate and they were making out and everything. And then Then she's on the date with the second guy, and the second guy's going, I just need to know where I stand. I know there's another guy, but I need to feel like you're... And I'm starting to feel myself moving around a lot in the sofa and holding my hand up, blocking my ears and stuff.
It's
so
creepy.
So anyway, I head upstairs, and I get on the internet, and I start looking at remote control airplanes and clone Shelby cars and stuff. I just sit in there and look at cars and airplanes on the internet all night long. And then I come back downstairs getting ready to go to work, and my wife's sitting on the sofa, and she's like pissed, and she's like, how come there's no romance? There's no romance. You don't romance me. Oh. And I'm like, because she's watching these two guys hard after this chick for the last 2 hours. It's 2 hours of these two good-looking, incredibly qualified, yet desperate men doing all they can do to woo this one woman. And she's like, you're upstairs on the computer. You're looking for model airplanes. Why don't you? And I'm like, okay, see, now this is what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
This is bad now. Yeah. This is the women's. This is what they think is going on out there.
We need a reality show, a reality check show.
Right.
The Bachelorette 1 year later.
Yes,
it's gonna be him on the can, her pissed off at him.
Yeah, I mean, you could never compete. How could you compete with this if you're in the middle of a long-term relationship and there's these two guys trying to impress her folks and giving her flowers and writing her poetry? And women just sit there and they just start stewing. Mm. Like, guys could watch it and just watch it, but women immediately, it's like, where's Adam? What's he doing? I wonder if he beat off today. What's he doing? Looking at another model airplane up there? Where's he think he's going? Then he's going to work in his mucklucks. Why isn't he coming around? He doesn't like my parents. I mean, it just gets him going. We should sue. Should be a class action lawsuit.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Back me up on this.
Shouldn't we sue?
Wait till he has kids. Back me up.
But what about a class action lawsuit that our relationships have suffered now?
I think you can do it, too.
Joe, let's go.
It's actionable.
Let's do it.
Can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
We can promote it on the show.
Have it filed tomorrow.
I have a lot of other ideas. A class action. You know, I want to sue Las Vegas. I want to sue the state of Nevada.
For what?
Well, I mean, if you can sue cigarette companies for smoking, all the gambling, the money I've lost over there, venereal diseases picked up over there.
Las Vegas for giving me that.
And that's legit. That's not bought on Hollywood Boulevard. It's completely legitimate.
He's got a concealed firearms permit from Las Vegas.
Nice.
Money lost at the table. Booze consumed, secondhand smoke in the casinos. And another thing I want to talk to you about is the Baker, home of the world's tallest thermometer.
Not a thermometer.
Just a stick, a sign. Stick with
sign.
Numbers on
that's
it.
A life.
I want that brought down.
That's Bun Boy.
There was a lawsuit against them because it was, some kind of a criminal investigation because they were spicing up the temperature, too.
Oh, really?
Think about that. Hey,
padding the temperature.
Yeah. If we add 5 degrees to this thermometer, maybe people will get out here.
Interesting.
Buy some more lemonade.
Yeah, but top off the antifreeze in the radiator. Mm-hmm. Smart. Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to talk to you guys more specifically about suing Nevada during the break, and and we'll be back with the Vandals after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. This is my song, All American Rejects. I like this song. It's a nice riff to it.
It's
Vandals
Josh on the drums, here. By the way. Is it? Side note that a producer friend of mine called me recently and said, might need to do some drums on this session for this band.
All American Rejects.
This is it?
No, I didn't. It might be coming up.
No, hold on. Drew decided you're playing the drums here. Just
okay,
go with
sure.
It.
It's fine. Nice. I might have.
No,
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
It might be one that I forgot about.
The Vandals are here. Joe and Josh are both here for the band. And we're having so much fun that we forgot to play a song the first break. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we didn't miss.
Why don't we play? We'll hear a song. We'll take a call.
Yeah.
Then we'll hear a song.
Yeah.
We have a call for Josh. Kevin.
Hey Adam.
What's up?
Hey. Well, before I go on, I just want to say that.
Well, you called last night.
No, 2 nights ago.
2 nights ago, I recognize this voice.
Yeah.
True.
A few nights ago, there's some lady that called in and said that you were racist, Adam, and.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she's just jealous that, you know, sure. You're everybody's hero.
No, she's not racist.
Yeah. She wishes she could be half as racist as I am.
Yeah, she's just, you know, mad at herself for being a bone whacker. And
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're very eloquent.
Mm-hmm. My question is for Josh, and I just wanted to know, how did you get into bullfighting?
Oh, that's Joe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Josh is going to get into bullfighting.
Oh.
Yeah, check back with me in 8 months.
Yeah. All right.
How'd you get into bullfighting, Joe?
I was brought up in a Mexican family, and bullfighting was the most normal thing in the world. And we would go to bullfights almost every weekend during the season in TJ. And
keeping it real.
Did you live in San Diego?
No, we lived in Orange County, so it was like, you know, an hour and a half away, and it was just what we did. And then it just became the most horrible, disgusting thing you could think of for so many years, especially living in Hollywood. You know, no one would ever think of even going to watch one. And then one day I ran across a school. It was on the internet. It was bullfightschool.com. And they're like, I can't believe some guy, a-hole was the word I was going to use, is actually thinks he's teaching bullfighting in San Diego. What? So I went down there and checked it out, and they were really cool guys. They were like, and so I've, 3 years later, I'm like graduated from their program, and I've killed 5 bulls in Mexico. And
really? And what do they... Like, your first day, they just start you off with, like, a shopping cart painted red that a guy charges at you, and you have
there's
a sheet.
There's a little bit of that. And then, but the main training, if you want to see people train in bullfighting, every Saturday for the last 30 years, these group of mainly Mexican guys are training in Griffith Park. If you go up Vermont, and there's a Roosevelt golf course to the right, mm-hmm. the very first thing you see in Griffith Park is you come up Vermont to the left on Saturdays at 12 noon, is about 10 guys practicing bullfighting. It's amazing.
The first thing you see is the homos sunbathing, the thongbacks. Now, these are the guys. I always pass these guys. It's like, hey, buddy, you don't got a backyard at your house? You got to wear the thong back. You got the AM radio. You're camped out here. It's your little, like, this is your living room? Or what is this to you? That you sunbathe on the street? Like,
those guys are on Los Feliz.
Is it with these
even
guys?
Even more traffic. Yeah.
It boggles my mind when I see a guy, like, set up, like, he's at his vacation home at the Hamptons or something. Spreads the talent, gets the radio. He's got the cooler. He's 3.5 feet from the curb, and there's guys whizzing by on mopeds and stuff. And he's probably going to turn over when the timer rings. Like, that's exhibitionism, right? Isn't that what that is? Like, there's something wrong with the guy.
Or maybe
there's no sun at his apartment? Even if he has an apartment, couldn't he spread something out on the roof?
A pickup thing. Maybe that's where they meet.
Ooh,
You got to meet somewhere in the daytime, you know.
I do remember that one time I was this is where I'm with this show, but I was driving over the hill going cutting through Griffith Park, going down the backside by the observatory, and there was a guy standing on each and every corner of this windy road that went up from the observatory down to Traveltown down there, and I was driving with my friend, and we were like, what are all these guys? Why is there different semi-well-dressed young guys standing on each corner about 100 feet apart? My friend said, they're selling drugs. But later we found out these were gay guys, and this is how it works. They don't do it anymore, but the guys would just drive up the street when they passed a guy they liked, stop, and just go off in the bushes with them.
Wouldn't it be great if women were like, man?
I wish it was that easy.
My God. Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah, there's this lesbian park.
Hot chicks on every corner. 100 bucks.
I love bragging to people about my bullfighting attorney bass player.
Yeah. Wow, you've killed 3 bulls?
5.
Oh, 5. Sorry.
Do you wear the crazy, the white outfit?
No, it's in the amateur circuit. It's an outfit that's more like a... like a mariachi would wear. It's
a black
Yeah, it's not. It's not
with
silly.
With a red tie.
It's not silly like that. That shiny gold one. No.
You wear the crazy hat though.
No, you wear a different kind of hat, and you're not allowed to wear that hat. That hat's like an honor. If you try to wear that hat without being a certified professional matador that kills
the
4-year-old ones, you know, we kill the 3-year-old ones, so we're not allowed.
Bulls
to wear that.
And you put those spears in the back of its neck to keep its head down.
No, actually, those are all. That's the theory, and it doesn't really work in show, and it's kind of unnecessary. But the crowd really likes it. Then there's a part where you stab it in the muscle to weaken it halfway through. It's really necessary and helps the whole bullfight, but the crowd hates it, and they whistle at that part for
some reason. Well, to weaken the neck so it can't lift its head?
So it starts to focus on the target, and otherwise, if you don't do it, it gets a little weird and it'll kill the matador every single time.
Really?
A lot of people think that's great, but you
don't... Every single time?
Every single time, if you don't... If you just... if it's the right kind of a bull that you're supposed to be fighting, it will just kill the matador because it figures out the game too soon. You're trying to time it so the matador is in danger, but he's got a chance to put a show on without dying.
Right. And how many of the what are those spears called, by the way?
Oh, banderillas.
Banderillas, and you put that into roughly the same spot of the neck, right?
If you're the banderillero.
and that sticks in, and then the thing flops around for a while. But when do you kill it?
After about 20 minutes when it's about to kill you, or if it's just not moving anymore and, you know, everyone's booing at you.
How do you kill it?
A sword goes through between the shoulder blades and pierces the aorta, and then the bull flops.
From the top down?
You're in front of it, and then you shake your, you know, little target thing, and it goes after it, and you got to go over the horns. If you don't go over the horns, you're a wuss, and then everyone will laugh.
You go over the horns. Yeah. Oh, so you can't go around it.
No.
So you go over the horns, and you go into that. There's an artery that
shoulder
that
blade
must bleed a lot.
Yeah, there's blood everywhere.
And
it's not pretty.
And the bull dies slowly, right?
Slowly, but you gotta remember, this bull lived for 4 years in paradise when his cousin, the cheeseburger, lived for a year and a half to two in sheer torture.
Yeah. Well, he was
castrated with no anesthesia, so it's a pretty good deal.
His cousin was.
Now, it's a pretty good deal.
Now, what do you do with these bulls? They're no good for eating at this point, are they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. Picture a third world country where they're going to throw a cow away. It's just not going to happen.
Hold on. No, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But are they a little bit tougher?
Yeah.
Because they're not castrated and because they're stronger, they're more muscle or something?
Yeah, so they prepare them differently, you know, and you don't go seek that kind of meat. But the butcher's always there, and the butcher cuts it up.
The butcher's there.
It's illegal to kill a bull in Mexico without a butcher there. So that's like the biggest. We have this butcher guy. Right. Something is illegal down there. It's weird.
It's weird. There's no paramedic for the bullfighter, but by law there must be a butcher.
That's exactly. It. And you are so far away from the nearest trauma center when you're doing this. It's scary. You're like,
you gotta get to the United States. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing in Mexico.
I'm like 45 minutes off a dirt road in some weird.
Oh
private
man!
Range, you know.
Man,
is there not a big audience?
I did one in León. There's a nice festival every year in León. I did that once, and there was like 3,500 people. It was sold out, and you know, if I do well, you know, they cut an ear and the judge awards an ear, and I get to do a ring around the thing, and people throw roses at you. It's kind of
fun. Vandals play afterwards?
No, the Vandals aren't that into it as I am.
No, but you know, we did have. I went to one bullfight. We had a good Vandals field trip when we were in Spain about 3 years ago, and we were going to have a day off. And Joe discussed it with the bus driver. We went out of our way a little ways to. I think it was in Pamplona, Spain.
No, it was in Valdepeña, Spain, like a wine.
There, yeah. We went to the full-on legit deal. And at first, I was going, yeah, I don't know if I want to go. Then I thought, you know what? If I'm ever going to go to a bullfight, it's going to be right now when someone takes me there. It's all set up. I'm sitting here in Spain. Sure. Why not go? So we went and. For the first, like, you know, first 10, 15 minutes, it was a little harsh to see for the first time. Then after, like, my ninth sangria, I was like,
yeah,
people kill that thing.
Come on.
Ole.
All right. Yeah, we had a good time.
Should we, can we squeeze a song in here?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. This is a newer one from the Vandals called Soccer Mom. Where's the applause thing, Anderson? Come on.
It's okay. That was a little light.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right. There we go.
All the way to the back row.
Vandals are here tonight. Joe and Josh, we will take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Joe and Josh are both here from the Vandals. The name of the CD is called Internet Dating Super Studs. And always a good time talking to the Vandals.
A little from Kung Fu Records, home of the singer of the Transplants. He quit the shipping receiving department, and we were just listening to the Transplants.
Yes,
I think so.
Right.
Was like, yeah, quit. We said you'll never be anything, and then here he is.
Really,
like,
Josh is a
drummer. You'll never be anything but bumper music. Now he was a good guy.
The Vandals also have a DVD out called The Show Must Go Off, and it's live footage of them, and it's in stores now, and you can get it at www.kungfurecords.com. One word, Kung Fu Records. All right.
Thank you.
Where are we? Back to the phones. I'm going to speak to Billy. Billy?
Yeah.
You're 18.
Hi, Adam.
What's up?
Hi, Drew.
Billy.
I was reading an article in Time today that I got. It's about Jimmy's new show, and it's got some negative comments about you and Jimmy and some other people, too.
All right. Is this, in the New Time magazine?
Yeah, from the 24th.
Oh, all right. From the 24th?
You know, the 24th.
Is that, when is that, today?
Coming up.
That would be Monday.
Yeah. It's like Playboy. It's a 6
Oh, okay. I see. Well, what did it say?
Well, about you, it said the show's booking poll is so feeble that by its third week, Kimmel had his former Man Show partner, Adam Carolla, co-host.
Yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, we were going to do that anyway.
That was planned
though.
Way ahead,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it said also about Jimmy, is by no conventional means a good talk show host.
He's going to hate this.
Said a bad talk show host, it turns out, is not such a bad thing in the end. It's getting some props, but not really.
No. Oh, all right. All right, well, that's nice and well-delivered, Billy.
All right, thank you.
The end. Thanks for that update.
My grandma will show me that.
You know, this is going to be a lot of people with egg on their face, just like the Man Show.
Really?
Jimmy.
Well, no, people haven't been bashing Jimmy's show too badly.
But, I mean, the critics agree again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, they haven't been. They were universally panned the Man Show, but they haven't universally panned Jimmy's show.
Good.
I don't believe.
When Conan started, it was an atrocity to most people.
That's right.
It was, and it really was. Like, he really was bad for about six months. Yeah.
You just look weird.
Annabelle?
Hello?
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's that echo, Drew?
I don't know, but finish up, Annabelle. What's up?
First, I wanted to ask, let's see here. When a girl talks, when I get influenced by guys, because I have a lot of guy friends, and sometimes they talk about sexual things. Well, it kind of rubs off, and I do it in a discreet way. I don't try to make it, like, too bizarre as far as my sexual talk goes. But when a girl talks about sexual things around a guy who just happens to be her friend or maybe a boyfriend, is that unimpressive?
Is it impressive?
Unimpressive.
Hold on a second. I have this. I'm starting to put together this theory where certain people speak in a tone that other people can't hear or understand.
Yeah.
It's not even the verbiage. It's almost like how dogs can hear certain sounds that we can't. There's certain. Her tone. She started talking. Everyone went like, what about that bullfight? Jeez. I guess they eat it. I guess that's cool if they eat it.
Habit trail.
Standing nearby, huh? Habit trail. I wonder if I can fit one of them bulls in a habit trail. Wouldn't it be cool to go to a huge habit trail that bulls could run in? I guess I could fight a bull if he was in that ball, that habit trail ball.
I wonder if habittrail.com is taken.
Yeah. I'd like to buy it. I mean, I wouldn't do anything with it, but I'm sure I could sell it back to them at some point. What was her? Did anyone hear her question, Drew? I know it's your job to listen. I immediately faded off.
No.
All right. She want to know if talking about sex
talking dirty was impressive to guys.
Yes, it is.
Annabelle?
What's that?
I think guys think if you talk dirty, you'd be dirty. Kind of thing. Like they're thinking sexually with you if you're talking dirty with them.
So, in other words, they think it's flirting?
No, they think more than that. They think the door is open.
It's a buy signal.
Yeah.
If you're just joking around,
it's the way the guy's taking.
Well, what kind of dirty talk?
what's an example? I don't know. Just say a guy says something dirty and a girl gives a little disrespectful comment back but kind of makes it joking.
All right, now
I'm totally clear on that.
Still thinking about that habit trail.
Drawing a blank.
Would it work for a full size for a bull? Then make one big enough.
Do we have the ball, technology? Big ball?
The big ball. Yeah. Let the bull run around the town. Mm. Get some exercise.
Poke at him through the air holes.
That's right. Slide that sword in. Hit the jugular through the air holes. All right. Let's
keep going.
Who cares what that was? Anthony.
Yes.
You're 17.
Yeah, I was just, me and my girlfriend sexually active, right?
Right.
I was just wanting to know, how can you tell if they are faking an orgasm?
Well, they're with you. That's how you... Anthony, are you actually inside of the TV set, or are you just near it?
I'm near it. Hold on and I'll fix
it. Yeah. We'll go ahead and turn that down just a little bit?
Yeah.
Idiot. What's wrong with our callers? I mean, listen, that's loud to us, right?
Yes.
And we're getting what's coming. Imagine living underneath this guy.
It was like Bonanza or something, too.
Anthony.
What were you watching?
Yeah.
What was that?
What was that on TV?
This action movie we rented.
Which one was that?
I'm not sure. We just got it.
You don't know when you rent movies what
can't
they are?
Can't pop it out of the little
well,
piece.
I'm not the one that rented it.
I see. Who was in it, Anthony?
Sylvester Stallone.
He's great.
What was he doing? Was he arm wrestling? Because if it's the one I'm thinking
over
of,
the
he
top.
Was arm wrestling. Yeah.
Starring Jimmy Keegan.
It's a Cobra.
Cobra.
That movie kicked ass.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. He had the sunglasses on. There was Cobra is a great idea for a movie. Stallone must have just been higher in hell on coke during this entire period. He hooks up with what's her name, that hot tall blonde who ends up marrying Mark Gassino, Bridget Nielsen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and they decide to make a movie, and the movie he's a cop, but he's sort of a cop and not really gets to do what he wants to do and drive his own squatted 49. Mercury, with the chop top and everything. And
he's
and
the cool cop.
There's a gang
he's incognito, right?
There's a gang of serial killers, but it's like a gang of serial killers who've come to town and they want to kill her. It's a disjointed mess. But the best part is when you figure out the guy's name. Like he's Cobra. He's Cobra. And then at one point his chief comes in, he's like, Kobranowski, get in my office right now. And you go, oh yeah. See, now it's fine.
Bad, yeah.
Now it makes sense.
It's clever.
Makes complete sense.
They should have called it Cocobra.
Anthony?
Yeah.
All right. So you're watching you were actually rented? They charge you to watch Cobra?
Yeah.
Is that on DVD or on VHS?
VHS.
The movie's 17 years old,
Yeah.
Really?
Gotta catch up.
All right. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Gang of serial killers coming to town?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So what's the question?
How do you know when a woman is faking an orgasm?
Does she have one every time?
I'm not sure.
Does she seem to be having
one every time?
All right.
Hold on a second, Dickweed. Listen to me. He keeps giving you the stupid voice, Drew. Did you hear that? He was screwing with you there.
Yeah, yeah.
Anthony.
Huh?
How dare you show disrespect to Drew? You understand? With that stupid voice of yours. Now listen. He's asking whether she has a fake or real one each and every time.
That's why I'm asking y'all.
I know. does her mouth open and sounds come out that simulate an orgasm each and every time?
Yeah.
And then she's faking.
Then she's faking.
All right.
Hey, Anthony?
Yeah.
Anthony's the virgin.
Anthony, what's up with you? You in high school?
Yeah.
What are you... You're not doing well, though, right?
What?
You're not doing well.
In high school.
In high school.
No.
The thing we were talking about last?
Huh.
You're not doing well, right?
Maybe Cobra was an assignment.
Would you write a 30-page report on Cobra? All right, so here's what I'm going to need you to do, Anthony. I need you to pick up a skill, like hanging sheetrock or roofing or foundation work or something like that. You have any connections?
Yeah.
Who do you have?
My dad.
What's he do?
Well, he works for some guy down the street that has a housing company.
Uh-huh. You working with him during the summer and stuff?
Yeah.
You learning framing?
Well, right now he's putting down pads for houses.
All right, so he's doing concrete work?
Yeah.
All right, that's your calling. All right?
All right.
That and crime fighting. But we're going to start with the foundation work, all right?
All right.
All right, buddy.
Good times.
Hi. Listen, all I'm saying is, look, if the guy's not doing well in school, he's not going off to college. Let's learn a trade, get a job, fight to keep it. All right. Cobra, you know what it said on the Cobra poster? It said, crime's a disease. He's the cure.
Oh, God.
I mean, how
I like that you remember that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Impressive. All right. Vandals here. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's a Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Joe and Josh are here from the Vandals. Name of the CD, Internet Dating Super Studs. And we'll hear another song off of that in the 11 o'clock hour. But now it's time to get back to the phones and speak to Lloyd, who's 24. Lloyd?
Yes.
What's up, Lloyd?
Oh, not too much. I wanted to know if there was any added risks to having sex, then oral sex, and back and forth. And
is, you mean you on her?
Or, well, both, her on me, me on her.
So is there something that can happen? Yeah, well, I mean, it's an interesting question. I never really thought about it that way. I mean, you think about a stable monogamous couple where people are not passing things back and forth, it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. But if it's with someone you really don't know their history, it's a new partner, it's more exposure, yeah.
Why?
It's just more surfaces, you know, more potential for blood exposure and things.
But, like, so if you're having intercourse, you get the blood flowing down there, and then you put your mouth down there, and is it that sort of thing?
That, then it's just more.
Yeah, but
fluid,
I guess what I'm saying is what's different between getting a little oral and then going into the sex and not flip-flopping back, not doubling
more
back?
More fluid exposure to the mouth, right?
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fluid's bad.
How about anal sex to regular sex?
Oh, that's dirty.
That you expose her to all kinds of stuff when you drag
fecal matter
with your penis.
That's why you got to go.
I heard that was wrong, or, you know.
Right. Right. That's an ass.
So that's bad. Why I was wondering if the same way with oral sex to regular sex went back and forth.
No, because there's no fecal matter coming from your mouth or the vagina.
Okay,
see?
So that's kind of where my question was coming from.
Well, it's sort of like this. You can put your hand into the sink and then put it in your mouth, but if you put it in the toilet and then put it in your mouth, it's worse,
speaking
right?
Toilets. Have you seen our bathroom?
No, I've not
Somebody's
seen that.
Somebody's done some work back
and
there.
Not seen that tonight.
I think you'd be impressed.
All right, so you do what I do. You go anal, oral, then vaginal, all right, instead of anal, vaginal, oral.
Maybe a mnemonic device might help him to remember it.
Yeah. Should we...
A mnemonic? Anal, oral, vaginal. AOV.
AOV? I don't know.
Anal first?
That's right.
No, that's not right. I thought you wanted to do that last, so you don't...
Oh, right. That's right. Finish with anal. Always
that's
finish
right.
with anal.
That's right.
All right?
Yeah. Anal first, you'll smell the worst. That's what we always say.
Right.
There you go.
It makes no sense.
It's ova.
Ova.
Right. One oral vaginal ale.
All right.
Love the show, guys.
Thanks, Lloyd.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye. We rarely get to the part where the caller gets to say bye. Usually hang up on
it's
them.
Bad it's radio when
been
you...
been like 4 years.
No, you don't hang up. You start talking, and you lose them somewhere, and then you put them on hold.
But listeners always wonder, how did that person get hung up on? Where did they go? As a listener, I'm always, you know.
Well, you know, we never hang up on them. We put them on hold so they can
forever.
Always they can always hear us.
And they can't interrupt you.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know how Adam gets when you interrupt him.
That's right.
Because I see you pushing that button. That's the don't interrupt me button?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to get one of these installed on my mom.
I thought you wanted one in life.
I do want one in life. I wanted a universal one, and then they said the technology was going to be too hard
for
that.
But you could do it for mom, yeah.
But I could do it with my mom.
You can TiVo your mom now, I heard.
All right, good times.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to think. Like VCRs came out in 1974, and my mom got one in 1997. So if TiVo came out in 98, my mom will be 172 years old when she gets TiVo.
Nice.
Done that. Yeah, I like a chart with the Corollas and when stuff came out and then when they actually purchased one. Toaster oven, 1941. Corollas, 1986. You know, the wheel.
Fire.
Sandy? Sandy.
Caller who goes by Sandy.
Who is 19 years old. All right. Now, that's weird because Sandy's only been on hold for about 4 minutes. I'll put Sandy back on hold and speak to Andrew, who's 25. Andrew? Oh,
lost her. Yeah, I got a question. First of all, how come you always disrespect metal workers?
Well, there's a certain breed of cat who works around metal. And God bless you guys.
But it's a fact. It's
not I'm not a metal worker anymore, you know.
But you wouldn't want these guys marrying your daughter. That's all I'm saying.
True.
And it's different breeds. Like a high-rise steel, I'm fine with that. But I'm talking more muffler shop biker.
I like it when they make the muffler man out front of their
place.
They always got to do that.
There's not enough of that going on anymore. You know, this corporate thing is, you know, Midas and Meineke and everything. It's ruined all these sort of budding artists. Who used to, they get stoned, then they get out the brazing torch.
Yeah, yeah.
They get the muffler, and they get some pipe. They use a hubcap for a head. They use a couple of washers for eyeballs.
They always got a smile, too. It's some...
Yeah, and the people used to do that with tires. They do all their weird kind of funky art that they put out front. And I used to like it just when they put stuff on the roof of their building.
Yeah.
Take like a VW sand rail and gut it and hoist it up to the building and spray paint the tires orange.
There used to be a whole piano on the 5 freeway going down through Commerce.
Yeah, there was
the
Colton.
Yeah, just a piano.
They put like sofas and cars up there, giant donuts.
Yeah. No weather protection on the piano, just getting worse and worse every year.
Oh, they put like Nudies, this cowboy place, had a cow that we tried to steal in high school up there. You know, put like fiberglass cows and animals. I miss that. Only the Mexicans still do that. They just draw stuff on there. They draw the pig chasing the cow with the axe and all that stuff, you know.
You ever go to Homeboy Taco downtown LA? It used to be there. It's good.
No, I haven't been there.
No.
It's gone now. It was on Alvarado and like 8th Street, and they had a whole mural around, like a fresco around the top with a story of the Homeboy Taco, and it started at a Rancho Homeboy. I'm not making this up, and it was a dog ranch, and they're ranching dogs, and by the time they got all the way around, the dogs went to the butcher shop and then were delivered straight to Homeboy Taco, and you would follow this while you're eating the taco. And
so you're eating Dalmatian.
They were playing a joke on all their customers. It was good.
Shocking. They're out of business.
Yeah.
Andrew?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
My question is for Dr. Drew.
Yeah,
I was wondering, like, what are some of the long-term issues that men will go through as far as like abandoning fathers?
Men with the abandoning fathers, the main thing that you see with those young folk is difficulty containing aggression. They don't contain aggression well. That's sort of the common thread there.
Well, because there was no disciplinarian.
It's easy to make that kind of... No one really knows for sure why that is, but it's clearly the case that it's a more aggressive breed of cat, and there's more potential for antisocial kinds
of acting. But are they more angry, or have they not been contained?
I think it's more they haven't been contained myself.
Because I've seen these studies where they hide the lipstick camera in the minivan, and mom is driving, and the boys are in the back, and they're wrestling, and the mom's yelling, "Quiet, I'm going to pull over." And the boys just ignore it.
Yeah.
And then when the dad's in the van, he's like, "Hey, put a sock in it." And the guys say they get all straightened up.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking
that's
about, basically.
Yeah.
But what about like maintaining relationships in the future?
That it can, of course, have an impact on it. Not nearly so much as if mom were not there. But if you had a close relationship with dad and he disappeared, yes, that would cause a significant... issue for you, that you would have difficulty trusting, you would expect abandonment in relationships.
Right.
It'd be an issue for you.
All right, but Andrew?
Yeah.
That's not you, right, buddy?
What do you mean?
I mean, you're going to overcome all this.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to. I just want to know, like, I'm just trying to discover a little bit about myself, you know, through dealing with past issues and stuff like that. That's why I got a little ticked off with you about the whole welder thing, because, you know, I made a good living going around the world, like, making designer furniture and stuff like that from welding.
All right. Well, that's the exception.
Not all right. Real. But thank you very much.
All right there, buddy.
That's not welding. That's sort of art.
Yeah.
With a torch.
You know the guy I miss? I miss the big, tall lumberjack guy with the tires in his hand. He used to be out front of the tire store, the giant tire store, man.
He
was holding his arms like that, and he'd hang a couple of truck tires from his forearms.
I miss the carpet guy with the turban.
The genie.
The carpet genie.
You know, by the way, all that crap only happens in Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
No, there was a book. There are books out on the architecture and these crazy...
I don't want to wax too poetic about this, but, you know, now what's happened is the corporate America is... Instead of the magic muffler, there's the Midas muffler, and that they have rules as to what their franchisees can do to their shops, and doesn't involve big plaster guys with turbans on their head who are duct taped to the roof of the building ready to fall on customers. I mean, but I do kind of miss all that crazy stuff, you know? And also stores would have a crazy mobile out front, too. What I'm saying is
like muffler stores?
Yeah, there was there was a magic muffler, and they were purple, and they had like a genie, and they had like a 55 Bel Air wagon or something that was purple and had Kragers on it and jacked up, and that'd be parked out front. Yeah. And it was sort of the you know, it's like they had the Batmobile, the
wagon?
Monkey's Mobile. Yeah,
everyone
had their own sort of like mascot wagon out front.
Right.
Those days are gone now, too.
This kind of stuff lives on in The Simpsons. They have made ample note of this.
Yeah, I'd like to bring them back.
And Homer's always eating the donuts off the top of the, you know.
I was just in East Berlin, and I bought, they had, it's still okay there to have a black 20-year-old boy dressed in a genie costume and hand out chocolate samples, and then you look at the chocolate samples, and there's a black genie on the chocolate sample, and, you know, wouldn't go on here.
No, and we used to have, like, Sambo's restaurant.
This was the Sambo's. It's going on in East Germany right now.
You still have a Sambo's T-shirt, don't you?
No, I don't. I don't know what you're talking about.
But I
bought some chocolate off that guy. I just wanted everyone to know.
I remember my grandfather, the Hungarian one, where when they opened, they were opening a Der Wiener Schnitzel in the neighborhood in 1971. And so my grandpa sees the sign, you know, it's right down the street. So he sees them building the place, and then he sees the sign going up, Der Wiener Schnitzel. And he thinks, finally a place I can get some good schnitzel in this town. He's getting all whipped up about opening day, and they're just going to get some schnitzel.
Chili dog.
All right, let's hear a song.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Vandal song. You queued up there, Anderson? This one is called... I'm Becoming You.
It's the fifth single off our hit album.
Here it is.
It's not enough to say you're mine. It still seems so unsatisfied. I wanna live inside your mind and wear your shoes and walk the miles. Show up as you do what you do. See what ensues. Okay, we try. And I just had to explain that we are one and the same. Tell me, 'cause I'm becoming you. I smell your I smell your sheets and wish that smell had come for me. I hate my skin that I live in. I never win. I have to say, and I just had to say, and I just had to explain that we are one and the same. Tell me, 'cause I'm becoming you. Tell me, 'cause I'm becoming you.
Yeah. The Vandals, everybody. Yeah, just taking a little walk down memory lane with the boys. Oh, I love smart people. They remember things. They know what you, smart people always know what you're talking about.
No matter what.
About? Dumb people, dumb people never know what you're talking about, and they blame you. That's the part I like. I don't mind the part where dumb people don't know what you're talking about. I just blame the part where they're making fun of you for knowing stuff they don't know. Like, how, what, you get to make fun of me for knowing stuff you don't know? How's that work?
Why would you know that?
Yeah. Yeah, they always do this. Well, I'm sorry, but I had a social life. I didn't sit around. They always, turn it on.
You must have a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah, someone had too much free time on their hands.
Whatever.
Whatever. Charisse?
Yes?
You're 28?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I was just calling because I've been dating my boyfriend for about a year. And, like, he just told me the other day that he cheated on me with another guy.
Oh, no. Wow. Now remember, it's oral, anal.
Oral.
Oral. Ova. Right.
Ova.
And it was, well, I guess he said that he had tried it, like, oral, like, when he was, like, 20. Mm-hmm. He's 26 now.
That's not something you try.
And he, and, you know what I mean? And both times, excuse me?
It's not something you try.
Hmm. Yeah, you don't, you know.
Well, like, I mean, I've had sexual experiences with other females, but I told him that's just different.
Oh, come on now.
But, I mean, I know what I want. I, you know, I want to be with a man, so, and...
Well, why do you think he told you this? This is really the curious part.
He said that his conscience was bothering him.
No.
Although people do that, that doesn't quite fit here.
No. So, but
it happened in
people
October.
People do that, yeah.
Well, it happened in October.
Yeah, and
he had sex with a guy?
No, he had, well, oral sex.
Oral sex with a guy.
Well, he said that he didn't come, and he said that he, because we were getting serious, and he's like, because, you know, from the previous experience, he's like, I just wanted to see if that's what I wanted. And he's like, and I knew that's not what I wanted, and I just told him, well, that's, I don't buy it.
You're right. That's not the way guys work.
Yeah. Because,
not at 28. I mean, how old is he? 28?
He's 26.
Yeah, that's not the way that works at 26.
So he had an experience at 20. He had another one at 26.
Did he have someone do something to him when he was a kid?
Well, he said, yeah, that something happened, but...
Yeah. Well, there you go.
He was raped by the giant tire man.
It's the genie.
The genie. The mighty.
The rape genie.
The carpet genie.
Carpeteria genie.
Carpeteria genie. Got him.
The wiener schnitzel genie.
So, now what are you guys going to do? Like, what do you want to break up? Or?
Well, I told him I couldn't be with him besides, I mean, because he cheated on me, and I can't trust him, and,
right.
And plus I'll always throw it in his face.
All right, so that's the end of that.
That is true. You will always throw it in his face.
What's that?
I said I'm pregnant.
Oh.
I know. And, I mean, and I never really thought, I mean, there's nothing about him that I thought maybe he was gay, except for that, like, sometimes.
Well, what do you want to do?
I just want to know, like, I mean, I was just trying to get a
what do you want to do with this pregnancy?
Oh, I mean, I'm too far along. I mean, I'm keeping the baby.
All right.
And do you want him to be in the child's life
and
be the father?
Yeah, I do. I mean, but...
All right, so here's really the only option as I see it. Whether or not you guys have an ongoing romantic relationship is going to be up to you. But if he's going to be in that child's life and he's going to be in your life long term, you got to get him into some treatment.
Yeah,
he's got to figure out what's going on here. Maybe in the course of him working on things, he will figure out what's going on, and you guys will be able to have a relationship.
Well, does he have a good job?
Yeah, he has a good job.
He's a decorator.
Is he
no,
in love with?
He's a painter. Him and his brother have a business.
All right, and he says he's in love with you.
Yeah.
All right, because the fact that she's got the kid now,
yeah, it's a different thing.
Turned it a little
bit.
Yeah,
it's a different story.
I mean, he keeps calling me and begging me.
Okay, listen.
Telling me that, oh, I love you, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't.
Okay.
You know,
just the condition of you coming back is him committing to long-term treatment of some type, just so he gets things figured
just
out for himself.
General therapy.
He's a therapist. He's see a therapist regularly for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you don't throw it in his face.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of...
And you want that, especially if he's raising a kid, and if he was sexually abused, he might have impulses himself that he needs to kind of deal with, so...
Hey, mm-hmm.
All right.
Take care of the kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Excuse me?
Take care of the kid.
Yeah.
All right, Mama.
All right, thank you.
Good times.
Good times.
All right, let's...
Noodle salad.
Betty?
Hello?
You're 19?
Yeah, hey, what's up?
What's happening, Stoner?
I've been waiting for, like, since I was 12 to have a reason to call you guys.
Great.
And I'm finally screwed up.
Yeah, anyway, no, I got this crazy question. Like, this guy told me he was sterile, and then I slept with him, and I think he might have had some STDs, and he didn't have any condoms because he was sterile, right? And then my friend talked to him, and he said that since he's sterile, he doesn't come all at once. It comes, like, every 5 seconds, like, a little bit, and I was just wondering if that was BS or not.
That's BS.
That's BS?
Yeah, and that, by the way, the amount of semen has very little to do with sterility.
Yeah, I knew this guy was an idiot. I don't know what I was doing.
And what's the STD situation?
Well, I guess he's like 23, and he goes and he gets like 14-year-old girls all drunk and tries to sleep with them, and I knew this, and I don't know why I did anything with him.
You said he has an STD?
Well, I mean, he's sleeping wondering how long does it take before those things show up. I know HIV takes 6 months.
Yeah, but everything else is pretty quick. You have vaginal irritation or discharge or pain.
Yeah, I think my ovaries hurt.
No. Well, you can get pelvic inflammatory disease. Your ovaries are just...
Well, I mean, I'm muscle down there.
Yeah. They're a shame, but they're physically, they're fine. Emotionally. Hey, Betty, why'd you sleep with the guy?
I don't know, because I got some sexual issues.
How come?
I don't know. Just like... I always, like, know...
You're fat.
True, please.
I know I don't want to do something with somebody, but I'll end up doing it anyway, even though before I'll say, okay, don't sleep with this guy. I'll just somehow end up doing it. I don't know why.
Are you loaded when you do it?
No, actually, this last time I was totally sober.
Wow.
And I think it's just the whole, like, young girl thinking that she has to sleep around to get respect, but it's the opposite, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, but I just do it anyway.
All right.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting, you're bringing up an interesting dichotomy between intellectually understanding what's not good for you, but not being able to contain the behaviors and the emotional context in which those behaviors play out.
But if you ever announce, I'm not going to do something, it's never far behind.
It's like not eating chocolate cake. I'm not going to do it.
No, it's over when you announce you're not going to do it. Like, I do that with beating off sometimes. No beating off. And it's like 8 seconds later, I got the bib on. I'm perched in front of
the lobster
TV.
Rib.
Well, no, yeah. Oh. I, you know, be nice.
Oh, no.
I just thought of this.
All right.
Well.
Yeah.
Like, my buddy, the Wheeze, used to try to turn me on to the whack bib all the time, you know.
Pauly Shore?
He'd say, no, different Wheeze. Okay, original Wheeze.
Okay, sorry.
He'd,
thought you were connected.
I can't believe that Wheeze stuff is still not relevant, you know. I thought that would go on forever. So
I don't know about the bib. What's the bib?
Well, the Wheeze, my buddy the Wheeze would say, you know, look, he was my roommate. He'd say, look, take a paper towel, spread it out on yourself. It's a lot cleaner that way.
Sure.
And I'd be like, I don't want to be mussing and fussing with stuff. You know, it's windy. You got to put some sandbags on it. You know what I mean? You got to mess around. But after a certain point, I realized the Wheeze was right with the bib, you know. So then you do the paper towel thing once in a while or whatever, but... What if they just did paper towels that were for beating off, and they just had a perforated hole in them?
Yeah, like for a
You pull it over your head like they do, like when you go to the barber shop and they put that smock around you, you know, except for replace your neck with your penis.
Right.
So I'm saying a little perforated knockout, maybe a couple sizes. Sure. You know, I just pull the center one out. That'd be enough. And you know, it's got as much paper towel. You know, maybe a little bit wider, and maybe there's a little lip on around the edge of it because runoff. Runoff can be a problem.
Gutter.
Sure. Yeah, a little gutter. I mean, it's not going anywhere. But just a little lip, the pop-out hole in the center. I think those would move.
Have you ever tried the sock?
Yeah, I do. Oh, sock over? No.
Sounds weird.
You guys are on the road a lot.
Standard procedure in your bus and the bunk in your
bus. I thought you jacked off into your socks all the time.
No, I jack off onto my socks, but not into your socks.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as it sounds, actually.
You do the sock over the top.
Like, I'm not as experienced as one of the other members in the Vandals who swears by it.
But you put the, like it's like a recorder case. Like, you know when they put the flute away into the thing?
The phone.
Nice. Put the flute away. Mm-hmm. That'd be a good euphemism. Like, where's Joe? He's back in his bunk putting the flute away.
Yeah.
He'll be out of here about 20 minutes later. Why don't you have yourself a wine cooler and relax? Yeah, I just thought the band was so tonight. But anyway, don't talk to him when he gets back.
So you just slip the sock over your dork, but you got to work yourself outside the sock, right?
But it's actually, like I said, not as bad as it sounds. It
Josh wears these nice lady socks too. They're thin and soft.
Got
and
the
stuff.
Little ball from the heel flopping around.
They're more.
Usually,
like,
just the crappy white tube sock that you can throw away pretty easily.
We have socks on nice our rider. Like backstage, there's a box of socks every night for us. Not really for that purpose so much. Just we like to change our socks every day and throw the old ones away. Otherwise, it makes the bus smell good.
Hard to do laundry.
It'd be good, like sock dispenser, like, you know, like at the filling station with the paper towels and just whip
right,
one
next
out.
To the penis towel dispenser.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you wouldn't need both, Drew.
Oh.
All right, we'll take a little. We'll take a little break. The Vandals are here, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Jim.
And I'm Tom. We play in the band Jimmy Eat World. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla.
Yes, you is. The Vandals are here tonight, Joe and Josh. And always a good time when the Vandals come to town.
Always fun.
Word.
Yeah. Smart guys. Fun guys to talk to. Internet dating super studs. All right, here's, okay, I'm going to try it one more time. Internet dating super studs.
The internet dating super studs.
That's something that went on during the commercial. But that's the name of the CD. It is out, and you can get it. And if you want to find out more things about the band, how to get the CD, or how to get this DVD that they put out, you can just go to www.kungfurecords.com. All right, Drew.
Here we go.
This is Katrina.
Hi.
Katrina, you're 16. What's going on?
Yeah, okay. So, like, I'll wake up and I'll, like, be masturbating or whatever, and I can't control it, right? Mm-hmm. I hate doing it, and mm-hmm. I want to know if there's, like, something I can do
you
about it.
You hate doing it in the middle of the night, or you hate doing it no matter what?
Like, I hate doing it, period.
Mm-hmm.
And
have you tried the sock?
No, I haven't.
Okay. All right.
But, like, okay, and I can't control it, right? Mm-hmm. I'll just wake up and I'll be doing it.
Right, so you can't control it in the sense that you're in your sleep, you're masturbating.
Yeah.
Right. And why are you so opposed to it? Why is it such a bad thing?
I don't know. I just...
Why do you hate it? Me. You say you hate it.
Yeah.
Well, why?
Because, I don't know, it disgusts me.
Well, are you religious?
You share a room?
No.
Are you...
I'm a Christian, but, I mean...
You're Christian.
Yeah.
She doesn't like it. She's 16. So that makes sense to her, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just religious, too, and maybe it doesn't
Man, you wake up with her masturbating or just kind of touching yourself?
No, like full-on masturbating.
Uh-huh. Does it feel good?
Did you traumatize growing up?
This guy traumatizing.
Somebody touch you sexually in weird ways?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened?
My cousin, like, used to, like, mess around with me and stuff.
Did he have sex with you?
He never went that far, but did pretty much everything else.
All right, so you have a lot of energy about that.
Well, I mean, how old is he? How much older is he than you?
3 months.
And what's
three,
always...
3 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can say same age at that point.
Okay. And what's always confusing to people that
Under
have been
weeks,
traumatized sexually is why they would engage in the actions that they find so disturbing and shameful. And it's part of the wiring in the brain. When you get this sort of evocative experience, it wires in a repetitive sort of attraction to that behavior, and you react to it, of course. You're disgusted, you don't like it, but you still do it.
Well, then you sprinkle in the Christianity, and now you got a real problem. So, Katrina,
mm-hmm.
why don't you give yourself a break? I mean,
well,
you know what I mean?
She wakes up.
Yeah, I'm saying give yourself an emotional break. Don't judge yourself.
Yeah.
It's dirty, you feel bad about yourself. It's a natural thing. This is what you do. You know, and don't beat yourself up. You wake up, you stop, you go back to bed.
And buy some mittens.
Yeah. You take take oven mittens, you duct tape them around your wrists before you go to bed. You don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Mm. All right. Listen, baby. How about getting
treatment,
a little therapy, too?
Treatment.
Yeah.
You've been traumatized. It needs work.
Therapy?
You got to do that, Mr. Katrina. You're going to be bugged. It's going to affect you for a long time to come, unless you do something about this.
Okay.
All right?
All right?
All right.
Does anyone know about what your cousin did to you?
Well, my parents know, but they're kind of like, you know, they're like, oh, well, he didn't really do anything, so it's not a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Well,
it is a big deal.
It's a big deal to you. Did it go on for a while?
For like 4 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Hmm.
So you need a little therapy, All right?
All right.
And your parents are stupid for not thinking you do and not getting you to help.
Remember that.
Yeah. Always resent them.
Denial.
All right, Katrina. Just take care of yourself.
All right. Thank
and then listen,
you.
Hey, don't be so freaked out about everything, would you?
It's all good.
I talk to these people, they act like they're trapped in their body.
Yeah.
And then some like evil brain running them, yes. And they're scared, and they're, uh-oh, my legs are moving. Where are we going? Holy Christ, hope we're not going to walk onto the train tracks again.
It's interesting that you describe it like that, though, but that is basically what happens biologically, is people, when they're re-traumatized at this, learn to dissociate. They disconnect from their body and their emotional experiences and their self. So any kind of stress evokes this kind of dissociative experience, and they feel like their bodies are moving and they're not in control of them.
Yeah, I'm telling everyone, you can sort of take back your body. I mean, you get to be one person. You can get your body hooked up with your brain. It's great.
Take some
do
work.
What you want. You don't have to
take
beat yourself
work.
Up all the time.
Take some work, though.
Yeah.
We have a song about that on that record.
Really?
It's always back to selling the records, Adam. Yeah. These guys, they
song
don't
called
let
My
go,
Brain Tells My Body.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me see that.
We think about it, too.
Isn't there a bullfighting record?
Yeah.
Bullfighting song?
My Brain Tells My Body. It's cut 10. Yeah. Avril Lavigne played the drums on it. Yeah.
Hand claps, at least.
Adriana?
Yes?
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah?
I've been sexually active since I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
My fiancé since he was 19. I was actually his first. And we're engaged. We're planning on getting married sometime this year. And we want to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
We've been trying, you know, we have sex day and night, you know, whenever.
Sure.
And we haven't been able to get pregnant. So
for how long? For how long? For how? What period of time?
What period of time?
How long have you been trying to get pregnant? It's
dumb. How complicated are all these questions? How long he humped me for 10 minutes? The moon was full.
Huh?
I just got on the phone.
Yeah, how long?
No, probably since I was about 15.
Oh, 7 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that anything more than 3 years is a definite... criteria for having a reproductive endocrinology and fertility.
Wait a second.
I think
God's
trying to punish her for.
Yeah, and he's saving us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Listen, you weren't attempting to get pregnant at 15, were you?
Basically, yeah, because I was having unprotected sex, and I kind of did want a baby then.
All right.
Well, what's wrong with you? Something wrong with you?
No.
You just want to get pregnant at 15?
Yeah.
Why?
Because. My brother, he's 10 years older than me.
Oh, that's... Oh, why did she say so? That makes all perfect sense now.
Next caller.
And he had kids, so I enjoyed the kids and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what needs to happen. Your boyfriend / husband needs to have a strict semen analysis to see if maybe the problem is with him.
Well, because I think it was with me.
After that, what needs
why
to happen...
Why do you think it's you?
Because I've always had irregular periods.
All right, so you need to have a confirmation of ovulation, which is basically getting your progesterone level on day 21 of your cycle.
Uh-huh.
There are also something called an FSH estradiol levels and sort of ratio that can be needs to be checked on day 3 of your cycle. And then tubal patenting needs to be evaluated with something called a hysterosalpingogram.
Why don't you guys wait till you get married?
Multiple things need to be done.
You?
But this is basically the steps that you need to go through to have your ovarian function evaluated.
What's going on? What's your husband do? Or your soon-to-be husband do?
Does it matter?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
he's actually disabled. He draws SSI.
Hold on a second. The two worst things to hear before what does your husband do is, well, right now,
yeah.
Right now always needs trouble. It's like, right now, he's the chancellor of Spain. No, it never works out that way. Right now, he owns his own biotech company. No, it's right now is always trouble. And what was hers right there?
What does it matter?
No, the next one. She led it with actually.
Actually,
yes.
Yeah.
Drew's,
actually.
Oh, Drew's worth. Yeah. Why do you somehow know what I want and won't give it to
no,
me?
No,
think about
I
that?
I can hear it.
Yes, actually is second to right now.
Right now.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's always a bad thing. All right. So he's disabled.
Actually,
what happened? Why is he disabled?
I think that's kind of his personal business. I mean,
no. What?
Yeah, we know him so well.
Did
now,
he get in an accident or what happened?
Babe, they want to know why you're disabled.
Well, look, you can tell us.
Here, Adriana. It's pertinent because we're trying to figure out why there might be an impact on his fertility.
That's right.
Yeah, so exactly. For God's sakes, give us a ballpark idea. Is he on medication? Does he have a spinal cord injury or the things that might affect his fertility?
No, he doesn't have anything. It was just a car accident.
He's not on medication.
No, he's not on medication.
Why is he just... What?
Why can't he work?
He just...
Don't want to.
Huh?
Don't want to.
No, he just had a car accident and...
Doesn't want to work.
Yeah.
And being mentally abused as a child.
And being mentally abused as a child.
And he's not on medication because of that?
No.
And not on any pain medication?
No.
All right. And you guys think it's a good idea to have a kid?
Honestly, yeah.
Well, he was mentally abused as a child. He's not working. You're angry at the world. I mean, what are you going to do with this kid?
Raise it to the best of our ability.
I know, but that's very low.
Not really.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, 10 years of therapy. All right.
All right. We're liking him a little bit better. But still, can he find a job in the computers or something like that?
He's trying. He wants to go back to school and become a master mechanic.
All right. There you go.
All right. But this may be some years off.
No, look.
Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying to everyone. And this is why I'm giving Adriana attitude is I would like you guys to get married. I would like him to actually become a master mechanic.
Then have a kid.
And then have a kid.
Yeah. You could wait. Like you're only 22, even as it is, Adriana. No one in this room, I would dare say, could have really effectively raised a kid at 22.
No. Yeah, and we're smart.
No.
Yeah. And furthermore, this whole thing where, like, I'm on SSI, or I'm not working, and I got a lot of bravado about having a kid. No, sorry. Yeah. That's not the way it works.
There's red flags everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes, you're not going to be able to raise a kid on SSI. And furthermore, I don't think it should be your decision.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like saying, yeah, I live in an apartment, but I want a buffalo. It's like, well, how dare you tell me I can't raise my own buffalo in my third story, one bedroom in Van Nuys? It's like, no, you can't. You just can't. Sorry. And then so people say, well, what am I supposed to do about my buffalo? It's like, go out, buy 20 acres, and raise your buffalo.
Get it on.
But until you can do that, you can't do this. Until you get off disability, you can't start a family.
You're not zoned for babies.
Is that right? Is that horribly un-American?
No.
I guess it is.
But it also would help motivate him to go do what he needs to do to get work.
Right,
so
I just had an ass full of everyone in their entitlement crap. I've been trying to have a kid since I was 15. Guys on SSI, please, everyone, get a job, fight to keep it, then you have your kid. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew over there. Vandals are here. You can go to www.kungfurecords.com and find out any information you want about the Vandals. And they're interesting fellas, so I suggest you check out that website and the CD, Internet Dating Super Studs.
It's kind of a dating site coming up in the next couple of weeks too.
Well, yeah,
you can date
that?
Each other. Yeah. They're dating. We did a lot of dating, contest dating on the tour.
Remember, we were talking about that last time you guys were in.
Four contest winners every night would come. They would have a date with us, which just meant they met us backstage and, you know.
Got the sock.
My date was usually a 13-year-old boy with zits and a t-shirt from a drum company going, will you sign these sticks?
Yes. But now you can date each other on the site, or coming up in the next couple of weeks or whatever. You can stop dating us. Date each other.
There's a fair amount of stick signing going on. It seems like that's a tough thing to sign.
Oh, it is. No, it's real easy with the Sharpie pen. It's still, I've kind of mastered that. But when someone hands you a ballpoint pen, it's not going to happen.
People like when people come up, when you sign stuff, and then they ask you if you got a pen, and you go no, and they get indignant.
Oh, that happens, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, that's like, really? Really, I should have, doesn't that?
No, that's a rule.
It makes you
when they come unprepared and want something from you.
Yeah, know, it's like, it makes you sort of self-centered to be carrying around a pen, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Dr. Drew.
Or a member of the Ataris. So that's it.
They care. Oh, they're coming in here, by the way.
That's what I heard.
Next week from Sunday.
We discovered them at Kung Fu Records. That's our.
They did.
That's our pride and joy.
Well, we'll give them mega plugs. Whitney.
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been dating my boyfriend for about a month now, and he's 20.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had like sex a lot, but it doesn't feel good to me. It doesn't hurt, but it just
I don't feel any pleasure from it.
Mm-hmm. Did it ever feel pleasurable?
Not really.
Mm. Is he the first guy you've been with?
Yeah, and I was the first girl he's been with, too.
At 20.
Why are you having a lot of... Well, I know because of him, but why are you having a lot of sex if you're not really into it?
Well, because he wants to, and I don't say no. I mean, it doesn't hurt or anything, but
right.
It's just there, and I want to know if that's normal.
Well, it's normal to have...
any trauma in the past?
Mm-mm. But at 16, it's normal for it not to be a great experience.
Especially with a 20-year-old guy whose cherry you busted 4 months ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it doesn't help a lot that he's really quick, too. He's okay. Like 45 seconds and he's done.
All right. Does he do oral sex?
Yeah.
Does that feel good to you?
I mean, kind of, but not really.
Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing there.
You wouldn't call him a great lover?
No, not really.
So you're not into what he's got to offer physically. The whole thing is sort of not exactly enchanting for you.
Are you in love with the guy?
And that's the next thing. Are you really into this guy?
Well, I think so, but we've only been dating for a month.
Well, here's what I think. Either you're not ready to have sex yet, and or you're not into this guy.
Okay.
And he's sure he was a virgin before he met you?
Yeah. His best friend was the one that told me.
Oh, yeah. They could have never worked that out. And popular scam we used to run in North Hollywood back in the day. Also. What about your parents? Are they happy about you dating a 20-year-old guy?
They don't know he's 20.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But my parents know I'm sleeping with him.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And, that's nice. How'd that conversation go?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of open with that kind of stuff with my dad. Him and I mean, he straight up told me, are you sleeping with the guy? And I was like, yeah. And he handed me a beer, and we were just talking about
it. Oh, what a great idea. Yeah, this sounds like a wonderful parent.
Well, no, he's asked me, it's because I'd never go without protection.
Yeah.
I never have, and I never will unless
I'm
married.
Are you talking about a condom?
Yeah.
All right.
And what's your boyfriend do?
What do you mean, what does he do?
For a living.
Actually.
For a living?
Actually, right now. Yeah.
Well, right now.
Right now. He works for Cisco.
Ah, uh-huh. The rap
Cisco?
Singer.
The drink.
Yeah.
No, the drink.
No, the... It's a food distributor.
Right, right.
Company.
All right. Drives a truck?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he makes a...
makes decent living?
Yeah, he gets like $13.90 an hour, which isn't a whole bunch, but it's pretty good for his age.
And what's your dad doing?
He'll move right up from there.
My dad?
Yeah.
He's a product manager for Verizon Wireless.
All right. Well, you have a very open relationship with him.
Yeah.
You should probably get on the pill if you're going to have a lot of sex with this guy and he has an orgasm in 45 seconds.
I would say, Whitney, you're probably not as into this guy as you might think, and or you're not really ready to be sexually active yet.
Okay.
I don't know what you're going to do about that, though.
Maybe you don't want to think this relationship.
Is it illegal? This guy's 20?
Yes.
She's calling from Washington?
It's also illegal.
She's
yes.
How old?
16.
Oh, yeah. This is a crime.
All
this
right.
Is not a relationship.
Maybe you're not in love with this guy, Whitney.
The age of 16 of consent in Washington.
Is it really Washington, D.C. or Washington State?
Washington State.
You call it from the state of Washington, Whitney?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, mazel tov. Right, that's a Jew for good times.
I can carry a gun there.
All right.
Just in Washington.
No, Dad.
And Vegas.
Vegas, Washington. Nice. What do you do with it in the meantime? You hide it somewhere, you come back and pick it up when you're...
I don't even do it. It just looks good in my wallet.
Yeah, how do you do that? I mean, we were seeing earlier. Joe was showing us that he was you could legally carry a concealed weapon in the state of Nevada.
Joe, in about 7 or 8 states,
can register your hands.
I want to have my hands registered.
If you go take a course in Arizona, you can take a course. It's any concealed weapon, not just you have to take a course to get this license. You could do your hands.
There was
a guy in my friend's class that had the samurai sword.
Uh-huh.
And he had to take a safety samurai sword class just so he could carry the samurai sword.
Wrist rocket.
I'd like to be registered. I'd like my hands registered first, but if I couldn't do that, I'd like nunchucks registered. I'd like to work that out. I just kind of think I'd like to fall out of my wallet about every 10 minutes when I'm in front of new people. Oh, yeah, it's my hand registered. Technically weapons in the state of Nevada. You understand it?
There's a lot of wallet enhancement that goes on in our band and with people. Everyone's looking
it's
for
great.
Something.
It's great. I can't get on a plane with them. That's the only drawback. Are we taking a break?
Yep.
Yeah, we'll be back. did the time go with the Vandals?
What fun.
Yeah, you guys.
It flew by.
You guys got to come back as soon as possible.
How tomorrow about night? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we six, from 6 months from now, mm-hmm. then as soon as. Soon as possible.
I love that.
Soon as possible.
That's what I mean.
Internet Dating Superstuds, name of the CD. And you guys can go to www.kungfurecords.com to find out everything about this wonderful band known as the Vandals. Guys, always great to see you.
Thanks.
Good to see you.
And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Okay. I just want to know, how can you tell if they are faking an orgasm?
Well, they're with you.
This has been Love Line. Opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.